And you know, we've gone on, we've done in the, over the last 6 to 8 weeks of sharing concerning the world and world missions. And so I was just praying about, okay, I'm back. I'm going to be preaching today. And hallelujah, which is awesome. And because I'm looking forward to it. Amen. But as I was praying about it, God said, you need to tell them what your mission is. And the mission of Harvest Bible Church. Many times we forget why we do things. You know, we forget why church. We forget why we're here, what we're doing. Why does God call men and women to start things, to do things and gather people together to encourage and to strengthen? You know, the Bible says that we're not supposed to forsake the assembling, you know, of coming together, especially now when we see the day approaching. We're supposed to be gathering more and more and more and more and more, because God's idea was that, you know, there's only two things that God started in the Bible. There's only two things that God put his stamp of approval on. Number one was the family. God started a family and he wanted a family. Number two, God started the church. Two things. So two things that God says, I'm interested in. I'm interested in the families and I'm interested in the church. And guess what? That means people. You know, God's interested in you. Amen. Hallelujah. So I'm going to share with you our vision, our mission, and what Harvest Bible Church is all about. So you picked a great Sunday to show up. You really do. Because I've been challenged lately. Somebody said, well, you need to write your vision. I mean, I have my vision. I have a great vision. I have a big vision. My vision's just huge on what I want to do for God and what God wants to do in our lives. It is. God always gives you something bigger than you can do. Amen? Costs more than you have. God never asks you to do anything according to your bank account. Ever. He always asks you to do something bigger. Amen. So if you have your Bibles, you can turn to our scripture right here. It's Luke 4:18. It's etched across here. It's the scripture that God gave us over almost 31 years ago. Actually, over 31, because we were here. We were here. We moved here. Over 31 years ago, he gave us a scripture and said, Luke 4:18 is what you're going to build your church on. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He said, that's what you're going to do. And out of that's what's going to take place. And so I'm going to break it down. We'll look at it. But this is my vision. But my vision is from here goes out to everything else that we need. Amen. God has great things in store. And he's been doing a pretty good job. Hallelujah. Of what all is taking place. Amen. Thank God. He says this in verse 16. We're going to start at verse 16. Luke chapter 4 and verse 16 says, so he came to Nazareth where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and he stood up to read. And when he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah, and when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Amen. And then we know it goes on to say he sat down. And right here, basically in these verses, Jesus got into the synagogue in Nazareth and he announced that, hey, I'm the Messiah. I'm the Christ. I'm the anointed one. He said, this is my ministry. This is my mission. Hallelujah. This is what I'm going to do. And then he said, this is how I'm going to do it through what he declared here. How many know this is what God calls it? He calls each church, and each church has a little bit different vision, even though we have the same vision to win the lost, we have the same vision to reach and to touch the world, because that's God's first and foremost thing, is people to be born into the kingdom of God. Being saved, hallelujah, is the greatest miracle you ever have in your entire life. Being born again, making Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, what an awesome, awesome thing that you need to do. Amen? But the very first thing that he said, he says, I'm anointed. The Spirit of the Lord's upon me because he's anointing me to preach the gospel to the poor. Amen. Now, we always want to get spiritual and say, well, that's the poor spiritually. Well, that's true. It is the poor spiritually, but it's actually the poor, broke, and busted financial folks too that are poor in every area. Not just poor financially, but poor mentally, poor physically, poor in every area. God is a God of abundance and he's a God of life. Amen. You know, Jesus said in John 10:10, he said, the thief cometh not but to steal, kill, and to destroy. But Jesus said, I've come that you might have life And that you might have life more abundantly. Now, I don't know about you, but I think God wants us to have an abundant life. And when we look at this, we get all caught up in things because we don't know really, well, this person, that. We all get caught up in things. We get caught up in numbers. We get caught instead of just enjoying life. God wants us to have an abundant life. And if Christians would actually get excited about the things of God or get excited about life, we'd have a lot more people. Amen. He didn't come to give you a bunch of do's and don'ts. Amen. I know we have the Ten Commandments. Thank God for them. They're our moral compass. Amen. Thank God for that. Thank God for the love of God. But thank God that God told us that we're endeavoring to preach the gospel to the poor. Amen. And we see that Jesus was anointed. And just because it says Jesus was anointed, you need to understand he anointed us. Paul said over there in Corinthians, he said, he that hath anointed us is God. Yes. Amen. Paul understood what that meant is that God put his stamp of approval on us to help people. Hallelujah. You know, John 14 verse 12 says, Jesus said, you know, the works that I do shall you do also. And greater works than these shall you do. Because why? Because I'm going to the Father. I'm going to be at the Father. Then the 13th verse said, if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Amen? And if that wasn't enough, the 14th verse said, if you ask anything in my name of the Father, he'll do it. We'll do it. Amen? He wanted to emphasize, listen, what I'm saying is I get to go to the Father. I'm there. I've anointed you. I've given it to you by my Spirit, by the anointing of the Holy Spirit within you. Glory to God. The works and the power that Jesus did. Guess what? You get to do it. Amen? Hallelujah. John chapter 1 says in the very beginning, John 1:1 says, the Word was in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and without God nothing was made. And by him was all things were made by him. Amen? Goes on to say that it was his Word. It was the light that lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Amen? He begins to decree and declare. And the 14th verse of John says this. It says, and the Word became flesh. Amen? Hallelujah. And was manifest, talking about Jesus. So what was John saying? John was saying the Word of God and the Spirit of God take the place of Jesus Christ here on the earth as if he was here personally. So we have the Spirit and we have the Word to preach the gospel. We've got the good news. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And the good news is you don't have to stay the same the way you are. Jesus was an economic changer. I mean, he changed the economics. He changed everywhere he went. He changed everything. Amen. Now that doesn't mean you don't have to be good stewards. Doesn't mean you have to do what the Word of God says. That's the thing about it. People are destroyed. Why? Because of lack of knowledge. Why do we have churches? So that people can know what their rights and their privileges are in Christ, what God requires of them, what God wants them to do so that they can be blessed. Amen. Yeah, I'm going to preach. I'm going to get a little excited, and I talk fast. Hey, okay. I've been storing it up for 6 weeks. I got to get into it. Are you guys ready? I'm trying not to give you the whole load. Amen. Hallelujah. But you need to understand, when he said he preached the gospel to the poor, that word in the Greek is a very interesting word. It means that you're impoverished. It means that you have got very dire needs and that God wants to change all that. How many know that we were so poor spiritually that we needed a Savior? Amen. Thank God for that. But man, I'm so glad that Jesus is an economic game changer. He changes everything, you know. You know, we were sharing something and my wife made a comment about someone said, you know, that's why somebody didn't really believe in that, because this person kept saying, oh, I have this or I had this, but there was no change in their life. How can you say that I'm born again? I'm a child of God if there's no change. How can you say that you're full of something if there's nothing full coming out? There's not some joy and not some things. You're not full. Amen. Hallelujah. There ought to be a change. There ought to be a difference of what's going on here. Amen. Thank God for the Word of God that'll break the stronghold of poverty in every area of your life. Amen? There's a stronghold. And thank God for the Word of God. Amen? I mean, we see this. We see that when we take hold of the Word of God and understanding that Jesus declared that by the power of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God, it's the same as him being here. Amen? Do you notice he goes on to say that he heals the brokenhearted? I know in the New Living, it doesn't have it in there. I don't know why they left out heal the brokenhearted, because that's one of the main things. It's so important, you know, in here. Because that's one of the biggest things. When God called us to come, he said, you're going out there to win the loss. This was our original, to win the loss. Then he said, you're going out there to equip the saints so that they can endeavor to finish their course. What do you mean by equipping the saints? It means building you up. It means I want you to finish strong. Amen? I want you to finish. I want you to put, you know, brick upon brick upon brick, but build up so that they can finish and have a great foundation. Amen? Hallelujah. And the next phrase was kind of interesting because he said, you're going to do everything through the integrity of the ministry, which bring integrity back into the city, bring integrity back into things. We didn't really emphasize that too much because that gets people nervous thinking that we know everything. But God spoke that to my heart, you know, and it was a ministry of integrity. It's a ministry of what we're going to do. And now we're reaching the lost. We're, you know, building up the body of Christ and we're honoring God in everything that we do. So it's always reach, build, and honor. That's why we declare that, because we just made a little more modern, a little more simplistic. You know, nobody liked the other. They didn't like too many words. All right. But what does it mean to heal the brokenhearted? Because that's what I've seen in the body of Christ. If you've been in church any length of time, then you've had your heart broken. Because what that means, you know, the word brokenhearted means this. And you'll know this. Taken in context, this word depicts people who have been walked on by others. Those who have been crushed by others. Or those who have been smashed to pieces by life or relationships. Welcome to the club. Glory to God. You're coming to be veterans. Hallelujah. You've been wounded in battle. You know how to fight. So we want to teach you how to come back, how to stand up, how to get healed, how to move. Because glory to God, you got to be tough to be in church. I grew up in church all my life. I've been in church all my life. I was born again in church, raised in church. Glory to God. Got filled with the Spirit. Got called into the ministry at 19. I've been in ministry all of these years, okay? Hallelujah. And I'm 66 now, so I'm in my 47th year of preaching the gospel to people, and I still love all of you. Amen. I'm not bragging on me. Either I'm crazy or I love what I do. One of the two things. And I'm having more fun now. Hallelujah. Because God is coming. Jesus is coming. And we've got to stay steady. We've got to stay grounded. We've got to. And I see so many people that are hurting that need to be set free, need to understand that, yes, we've all taken hits. We've all taken. But it's what we do after the hit. Amen? Because notice he said, Jesus heals the brokenhearted. He doesn't just comfort the brokenhearted. Amen. He heals the brokenhearted. Aren't you glad about that healing word? Praise God. But now here's the thing about that word. That word's a little different. Because that word heal is not instantly. And that's what everybody messed up. Because that man, if I come to Jesus, everything's going to be perfect. I'm going to get hands laid on me. I'm going to heal instantly. And everything's good. Well, how come I didn't get it? How come it's not working? How come I still got to walk by faith? How come I still got to walk in love? How come I still got to forgive? I shouldn't have to do anything. I asked God to do this. How many of you found out that God requires some things of you? Because this word heal does not mean instantaneously. It's not a quick fix. It literally means that you get healed progressively, that God's going to reverse every condition over a period of time, and he's going to progressively heal, and rather than instantly heal you, but what's going to happen, he's going to get you to fully recover and fully restore. Because we're going to go from faith to faith, from strength to strength, and from glory to glory. See, as a pastor, I get to live with you. So we get to be in the nitty gritty nasty now. Let's walk this thing out, but let's do it. But let's go. Let's rise up. Let's know. Hey, God's gonna heal my broken heart. God's gonna mend it. God's gonna cause recovery. God's gonna cause a full recovery that's gonna take place. Amen. Hallelujah. He's gonna dissolve all the layers of pain and disappointment and all the things. Amen. Man, I'm so glad, hallelujah, for the healing covenant of God, and I'm glad for the instantaneous. Praise God. We thank God for those things because God desires. But thank God that we can begin to amend. We can begin to get better. We can begin to sit up. Yes. Hey, amen? You know, first of all, you got to face up. Then you get to sit up. And then you get to stand up. Yes. Amen? Yes. Go with me. First of all, you face up and go, whoo, that was a big blow. That was tough. All right. I can't stand up yet, but I'm going to be able to sit. You know, might not be able to get up off my flat on my back, but I'm going to raise up my little finger. It's a start. Amen? Why is that so important? It's because many times we have a tendency to think that we're going to get born again, filled with the Holy Spirit, get a hold, get the word, and become Superman all in one day. Got news for you. I've been doing this, like I said, I'm in my 47th year, and Superman's taking a lot of hits. And he doesn't feel like, oh my gosh. But you know what? We are going to finish our course, and we're going to bring back the King, and we are going to see God move, and we're going to continue to bring hope and healing, life and joy. Praise God. Amen. I mean, and the same power that was on Jesus over 2,000 years ago is the same power that's on His Word and by His Spirit and working in you and me. That we can come to God by faith and receive all that He has. Amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. Look at the next little phrase that he says there. He says, you're going to deliver the captives and to preach deliverance to the captives. Isn't that an amazing statement? I'm going to preach deliverance to the captives, which means the prison doors are open. Why are you still sitting inside? Why are you still held in bondage? If he says, but we got to preach to each other and say, you don't have to be held captive anymore. You don't have to be in bondage anymore. You don't have to be bound in this. But also in this, when it talks about that, the word captive is interesting because it denotes from the Greek, it talks about somebody that's got a spear in your back that's pushing you in a wrong direction. How many of you are feel like, I just can't get out of it? I can't change. Or I can't be, here I am, what am I going to do? It's like I got this pressure and they're trying to push you in the right wrong direction. Amen? And that's what the enemy is endeavoring to do to a lot of folks. They seem like, man, I can't get out of this cycle. But you're being dragged by the enemy who's lied. And that's why we got to speak the truth. That's why we got to come to church. It's line upon line, precept upon precept. It's learning, it's seeing, it's growing. It's understanding. Here is how great God is. Because there's too many people being lied to. Too many people in the devil's grasp. Because they're not listening to what the Word of God said. Or they really can't see it. We've got to break some strongholds in there. Amen. We got to break some strongholds that are in there. Hallelujah. Because we just can't see it. We get like, oh my gosh, what are we going to do? But thank God for the Word of God. Aren't you glad for the Bible? You know, Acts 10:38 says this. You know, and I'd have you turn to all these things, but then I'd only get through a few things. So I just quote them to you. You can look them all up. Acts 10:38 says, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. What did he do? Who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil. Amen. Thank God we don't have to be depressed or oppressed. We don't have to have depression or oppression. Amen. I mean, we don't. Because the joy of the Lord is our strength. Hallelujah. When truth comes, knowledge comes, we begin to take hold. We can begin to defeat the enemy. Amen. And thank God for the anointing. It's amazing. I don't know if you know that now, but there's, you know, in my circles, that word anointing is getting like bashed all around. You know, I'm in the minister circle, so all the ministers are saying, well, how many times does anointing say in the Bible? Was it in the New Covenant or in the epistles and all? And everybody wants to fight over the anointing. They want to take it out of the Word of God. Because the problem is they don't understand what the anointing is. The anointing is simply the presence of God. It's simply God's power to break people free. Most people think, well, it's just the word. The word's anointed. The word's anointed. Just give them the word. Well, thank God for that. But there is an anointing that comes upon. Amen. There's a power when you pray. There's an anointing that's supposed to come on. Not only do we have the Spirit within us, we're supposed to have the Spirit upon us that anoints us for service, that enables us how to help one another. Amen. To help one another. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I thank God for the presence or the anointing of God. Man, and the Bible says in Isaiah that the anointing breaks the yoke. I mean, the devil can be building something for 20, 30 years in your life, and the anointing, the power of God, the Word can annihilate it in seconds. Amen. And set you, all of a sudden, you can go, oh, wow. Wow. I'm going to give you an example. When I was back in 1978 when I was ushering, you know, that was a little while ago. Some of you weren't even born then, okay? But in 1978, I was ushering in a big church, and as we were ushering, we had a guy that would come in, and he would say, and he thought, you know, that the God was telling him he was supposed to manifest and get crazy, throw himself all over the ground, do things, and cause a great disturbance. So we were told at the beginning of the service he was coming, and so told the pastor, listen, if four ushers come down the aisle side by side, you know what we're about to do. We're going to carry him out bodily and go pray for him. And so anyway, so that happened. We had to do that. I had to carry him out. We get into the back room there, and we're trying to be really nice to the guy, but he'd been doing things. And finally, one of the head usher, he just got a word from God, and he gave a scripture. He gave a scripture, and we were praying for him. You know, we wanted to cast the devil out of him, but he wanted it, so you couldn't get it out. But anyways, that's a whole other story. But here's what the word did, and the anointing, and he gave him a scripture that totally refuted what he had thought, he had the stronghold in his mind. And it was so cool to see, because as soon as he heard the scripture and he stopped, because he really wasn't trying to be mean or nasty. He thought that was going to make the service go bigger and better if everybody saw him doing what he was doing. And it wasn't. But when he gave the scripture, and of course, he could see the power of God. And you could see all of a sudden his life, he goes, oh, you're right. Guy became a great guy. Instead of being kicked out, it took months and months and months. You know, I mean, literally, you go talk to them, you try to, hey, we got our eye on you. We're gonna, you know, you just because you want everybody to be at church. See, y'all got nervous. Think we got our ushers, got our eyes on you now. No. But you don't want to. You can't let one person disrupt everybody else. But what I'm saying, one word from God, one scripture, set a guy free. Who had been really tormented for 6 months, but really doing things, and nobody wanted to be around him, but he got set free. Amen? The anointing breaks the yoke. Amen? Thank God for that. Praise God. See, we see things and know, because the next phrase is, he says, I'm going to recover sight to the blind. And believe it or not, that word blind means physically blind. Because they believed in the New Testament at that time, if you could heal blind people, then you could do anything. And that's why Jesus healed a lot more blind people than just about anything else to see things, because they could see it. They could see the hand of God upon them. And that's why you see all through the Word of God, you know, all through through the Gospels, so many cool things about that. And reason being is that not just, you know, the physically blind, because that's what they were doing, but also we know it's for the spiritually blind. How many know there's a lot of people want to fight you over all the good things of God? Everybody wants to fight you over healing. They want to fight you over prosperity. They want to fight you over joy. Don't look at me so holy, because we got to get religious, you know. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Y'all okay? Y'all okay? The Word of God is so amazing. And I remember this helped me immensely way back in the day when I didn't understand a lot of things. You know, a person got up and he was ministering. He said, listen, it's only necessary if it's necessary. And the key is, what does that mean? It means let everybody work out their own salvation instead of you getting mad about what God is doing to them and with them and for them. Y'all okay? You know, that goes over into the other thing. You know, we've got all kinds of really cool tenets of faith on our website. That's what we believe in. Those are our core values. But you know that one of them says that all churches that are preaching the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that there are Christians in all churches that are naming the name of Christ, that we're not up here to bash against the Catholics or the Presbyterians or the Baptists or the Methodists or you know, Nazarene. They're all awesome if they're preaching Jesus. Amen. We're not up here saying, oh, we got this great revelation, or got this new thing. No, we're just trying to do what the Bible says, doing what God's called us to do. And we're trying to recover sight to those that are blind spiritually, that those that can't see. Because we want to bring truth, you know. Amen. We want to bring truth because it'll set you free. Amen. We want you to be blessed. We want you to be prosperous so that you're not bound. We want you to be healed and whole. Yes and amen. Why? Because if you feel good, have money, you will travel. Amen. You'll do a whole lot of it, and you'll actually, you'll help, and you'll do, and you'll be a blessing. Amen. So that's what our job, my job is to bring light to you, is bring the word of God. It's to give you a miraculous restoration so you can see, so that the strongholds, amen, the strongholds can be broken. Amen. Amen. We see this all the time when we see it. I mean, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3 says this. They can put up on the screen. And it says, but even if our gospel is veiled or hid, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age or the God of this world has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the glorious gospel, the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. See, the funny thing about it is that the enemy is blinding so many people because we have so many divisions in the body of Christ. Everybody wants to fight and argue. Y'all okay? Y'all doing okay? You know, hey, let me give you a real secret. We're not the perfect church. Because you got me as a pastor. Okay. Now, I do have a scripture for me, but I don't have one for you. But here it is. I do. Psalms 37:37 says, mark the perfect man and behold the upright. Okay. But here you go. So, yeah. You get so serious. Y'all get so serious. Y'all going to look that up too. It is. It's good. King James version. Okay. oh, hallelujah. But let me share with you. Believe it or not, this word blind, when you look at it and you see, it actually from the Greek gives this connotation very strongly. It's that you're blind because somebody else made you blind. Because you believe somebody else. The enemy is blinding you. Other people have blinded you. History has blinded you. Somebody else's experience has blinded you. Okay? And guess what? I know that. Because I was blinded in areas because of other people and other things. Or things that didn't happen that I thought should have happened. And I had to come out of it. I had to take the word of God and I had to open my eyes. I had to go ahead and see. And I had to let his anointing restore my sight. And I had to let his thing. I had to realize and understand, hey, this is what I need to do. Amen. Because Satan has blinded our eyes. He's blinded our minds. He's got us caught up on, well, why is God doing that there? Why is God doing that? Why isn't he doing it here? Because we've looked out and thought that, oh, I need to find revival here. I need to find revival over here. No, you need to find revival right here. You need to stir up the gift of God on the inside of you. You need to hear and stir up the gift of God. Stir up the presence of God. Begin to see. Let the light of the gospel shine. And that's why Satan fights the word of God so bad, because the gospel is the power of God. Romans 1:16 says the gospel is the power of God. Before that, the very first part, it says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I'm not ashamed of the good news. Amen? Because it is the power of God unto the Jew first and also unto the Gentile. And then verse 17 says, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed. Our rightness with God, or knowing what God has said in our hearts. Amen? We got to open up our eyes to see. Open our eyes to see. Hallelujah. Thank God that Jesus is unchanging. Let me give you a really good scripture. Hebrews 13:8 says, Jesus Christ, the same, yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus Christ, the same, yesterday, today, and forever. Amen? Forever. He doesn't change. He's unchanging. God's unchanging. God's promises are still God's promises. God still honors his word. He's still fulfilling the word of God. He's still doing what God's calling, wants us to do. Hallelujah. Thank God for that. Amen. Oh, I could stay here and go longer. But we're going to go to them that are bruised. Them that are bruised. Man, my goodness. Wow. You know, And one translation says, them that are beat up by tyranny, where leadership has failed you. I knew that'd go over real big. Because we always blame somebody else. It's always somebody else's fault. Hallelujah. But he did say, set at liberty them that are bruised. Set at liberty. Man, aren't you glad that he wants to liberate us? Aren't you glad that he wants to set us free? Hallelujah. Actually, he wants to release you from you. He wants to release you from your past. He wants to release you from the burdens. He wants to release you from the lies of the enemy. That's his desire. Hallelujah. He wants you not to be oppressed. He doesn't want you to be beat up. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank God. Because this one here goes with the next verse, verse 19. It says, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord, which simply means this, is that we know that we've talked about the year of Jubilee and things like that. But really, it means that it's the year of the Lord's release, which you ask yourself, when does God want to release me from all the bondages that I have? When can I actually say I'm free? Amen? Because what does John chapter 8, verse 35 says, and verse 36 says, he whom the Son sets free is free indeed. He whom the Son sets free is free indeed. He said, he's anointed me to set at liberty them that are bruised and to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Amen? And what happens is that when you look at that word bruised and what it talks about, when you break it down, it actually goes like this. Someone whose life has been fractured, it's been split up or fragmented by one way or another. And a lot of us, that's what's happened. We've had fragmentations. We've had things. And you're doing really good being broken, but God wants to fix you. You're doing really good with what you're dealing, but you don't have to deal with it and continue to keep it. You can get free and healed and whole. And that's our job. That's why we have church. That's why we have church every Sunday, every Wednesday, because we're getting the word of God. It's line upon line, precept, and getting a place where God can move and manifest so that his glory, hallelujah. So all of a sudden it dawns on you. Ding, the light bulb goes off. Hey, I no longer have to be bound. That's a lie. I'm not what they said I was. This is who I am. I don't have to be bound by that. I don't have to. I can be free. I can do this. I can be this. We want to get you out of the I can'ts to the I can'ts. Amen? That's what we want to do. We want to preach the acceptable year of the Lord or the year of the Lord's release. We want to do it this way. As I began to just pray, and the Lord says, when is the right time to receive? He says, when is it a favorable time to receive? I said, well, Lord, you tell me, because you asked me that question. I mean, I got to be like Ezekiel. You know, Lord, you know. Because if you start mouthing off like Philip says, Lord, how can this be? What are we going to do? You know, you show your unbelief. And I said, Lord, you know. He said, well, and then he took me to Luke 4:18 and 4:19. He says, preach the acceptable year of the Lord. What is acceptable? When my son died on the cross and he gave up his life and he spilled his blood there and then he took his blood. He was raised from the dead and took his blood into the heavenly holies of God and he finished it and he obtained an eternal redemption for you. When were you free? When he died on the cross, when he was raised from the dead, and when he sprinkled his blood in the heavenly holies of holies, he who the Son sets free is free indeed. He said, guess what? It is a very favorable time for you to receive right now. When is it time for my healing? When is it time for the blessing? When is it time for the, when is it time for, right now. Now's a good time. Now's a good time. You ever said that to the Lord? Now's a good time, Lord. Now's a good time. You can show up anytime. Now's a good time. He said, yep. The power of the Lord is present to heal, it says in Luke chapter 5 and Luke chapter 6. The power of the Lord is present to heal. The power of the Lord. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad? The best time is right now. It's the best moment for us to receive whatever we need. Whatever we need. Amen? Whatever we need. And that's what we're here to do, is to encourage you, to strengthen you. I promise to keep going with God. I promise to keep doing all I know to do till Jesus comes or till whenever or till, you know, you guys get tired of me, the board get tired, whatever it is. But I'm going to keep going till God says go. And even if you get tired of me, I'm not going to get tired of me. I'm going to keep going. So the thing about it is that we got to continue to allow God to be God. So real quick, I want to share and I want to give you everything the Harvest Bible Church is supposed to do and what we're going to minister and what we're going to share and what we're going to teach, because that's our heart. Our heart, hallelujah, is to reach and touch the lives of every person we can. Glory to God. We're going to preach the gospel to the poor, which means that the gospel is an economic game changer for the poor. It'll break all of your financial hardships and disrupt the cycle of poverty. It'll bring change into your life, both spiritually and every other area, financially, mentally, socially. Every area of your life can be changed. Hallelujah. Because nobody, if you say, well, I just don't like to talk to people. Well, God can change that too. Hallelujah. Because that way you can do it. God can do all that. Also, hallelujah, our job is to heal the brokenhearted. Those that who feel that they've been walked on or crushed by others, those who feel that they've been smashed to pieces by life or by relationships, that they can come out of it whole. They can come out of it healed. They can come out of it blessed. They can come out of it. They may not think that they can. They may not know. And at the time, you don't think that you can. You don't think that you're going to be able to do anything. But because you do the word of God, because you take hold of the word of God, you can come out of the ashes. I know that. I know that. I've experienced it. I know that. Not because of just what the word of God said, but I know that because I know it works. Hallelujah. Amen. Also, it's going to restore sight to the blind, which means, hallelujah, the anointing is so powerful. It can restore physical sight and spiritual sight. Hallelujah. And since it can do all of that, glory to God, nothing is impossible for what God can do. Amen. Hallelujah. It's going to set at liberty those who are bruised, those who have been fractured and fragmented and split up, or who suffer any kind of oppression in their emotions, mind, or body. You don't have to let anybody affect you anymore. You don't have to be deceived. You don't have to be, no matter what they say, you can just say, oh man, they just turned in a prayer request. Hallelujah. Glory to God. They're being ugly. Man, another one has a prayer. Man, I got to pray for 5 people today. Glory to God, because they need it. They need some help. It doesn't matter what they say or what people say. Well, you're just crazy. You say, yeah, praise God. Hallelujah. But I'm happy and I'm joyful and I'm full of life. Amen. Praise God. I'm not going to allow that to take place. Amen. And then also, it's available. It's available in an acceptable time, which now is the time, which means right now, this very moment, for anyone who comes to him by faith. Hallelujah. And when you come to God by faith, you receive what he said about you. So no matter whatever we may need, and I'm going to pray for the whole church. I'm just not going to do it one by one. I'm just going to pray over you. Hallelujah. Because whatever you need, the word of God and the spirit of God and the anointing of God will break every yoke of bondage. It'll bring life. And today can be the very beginning of a new day. Amen. The very beginning of something super, super. And you begin to taste and see that the Lord, he is good. How many know God's not bad? But the greatest revelation I ever got in my whole life as a little kid, everything else, and it stuck with me. God's good and the devil's bad. And if there's anything bad going on, we blame it on the devil. Hallelujah. Anything good going on, we give God all the glory. And if there's anything good in me, God gets all the glory. If there's anything bad in me, it's me. So I just say, hey, you know, hallelujah. I don't even give the devil credit for that. But it's like, hey, God is good and the devil is bad. But God's word is going to change your life. And we're going to continue to grow and go. That's why we're building a new building. We're not doing that to say, oh, look at us, look at this. I don't need to do that. And we don't need, you know, to look to the world. Everything we have and everything we need to financially do that, to spiritually do that, to physically do that, is all in here. It's all here. Yeah, we got to look at this. We're looking at it. You know what? But I'm not basing anything on what the world says. I'm basing everything upon, he says. And except the Lord build the house, we labor in vain that build it. I said, God, you're the one that said to do it, then you do it. Amen. I got it means I got to do. You can't just sit back and we got to do our due diligence. We're doing everything. We're doing all kinds of things. But you know what? God's going to do it. Amen. Hallelujah. God's going to bring it to pass. Not just, oh, look at this. No. Because how many of us know fragmented, hurting, blinded people all over because they just can't see it? How many of us have so many relatives that we want to get the truth into them and they just can't see it because their eyes are blinded? They've got someone blinding them. Satan's blinded their eyes. So we got to say, God, you got to open their eyes. Someone can talk to them. God, you got to. So we pray to believe God. God sends laborers. Amen. But God needs to. The more our eyes are open, the bigger the picture. The window gets opened up more and more. And we get to see, wow. And we don't get mad at people who only see this part of the window. We rejoice with what part they see. If they only see Jesus and they're just trying to make it and they see, thank God, join with them. Just because you opened up, you saw a few more things. And then you open up a little bit more and you see a little more thing. You go, whoa, some good things over here and some good things over here from what the Word of God says. But don't be mad at everybody who's right here. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you, Lord. Oh, I love you and I praise you and I magnify your name. First of all, Father, I thank you for Harvest Bible Church. I thank you for all these folks that are here, not just here, but those that are watching. Lord, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Your hand is upon us. And Father, our mission is what we've just declared. Our vision is what we've just declared. This is our vision, is to have an incredibly strong local church that serves their kids, serves their teenagers, serves their adults, their young adults, every area, every avenue, with everything that people that are hungry for the things of God. But our number one goal, our number one vision is to lift up Jesus. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. We lift up Jesus because without knowing who Jesus is, without being born again, without accepting Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, which means Romans 10, 9 and 10 says that if we believe in our heart and confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus, we shall be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, but with the mouth confession is made unto salvation, which simply means I've got to ask Jesus to be the Lord of my life. I've got him to ask him to be my Savior, my Lord, be my all in all. As our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, if you're here and you don't know Jesus, Jesus loves you. He loves you. He died for you. He gave his all for you. And if you're here and you say, man, I want to believe. I want to believe that. Listen, just believe. Just declare, Jesus, I love you. Jesus, be my Lord, be my Savior. Change my life. Take my life. Hallelujah. Make it yours. If you're here and you want to pray a prayer, you want to declare that Jesus is the Lord of your life, you want to do that for the first time, or you just need to come back to God. You've been broken and fragmented. Things have happened. There's things that you're thinking, I need to come back to God. Hallelujah. That's okay. Come back. Come home. Come back. God's calling. He's calling all of us. Come home. If that's you, say, hey, would you pray for me? Just raise your hand. Just raise. You're acknowledging to God. You're acknowledging God. I see that hand. This hand. I see that. I see that hand. I do. I see that hand. I do. I do. God loves you. He loves you. Glory to God. God loves you so much. He cares. Hallelujah. He does. When you raise your hand toward, you're going, God, here am I. And he rushes down and he goes, yes, I'm right here. Hallelujah. So I want all of us to say this together. Those of you, and if you should have raised your hand, that's okay. But say this. It's you meaning it in your heart. It's you believing. Something happens when you believe, when you trust God. Say this. Say, Heavenly Father, thank you for sending Jesus to die for me. Right now, I receive him as my Lord and my Savior. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for forgiving me of all my sins and cleansing me of all unrighteousness. Thank you, Father, that I'm your child. Thank you, Jesus, that you're my Lord. You're my Savior. Oh, hallelujah. Father, I just thank you and praise you Father, if those that have prayed that for the first time, or those that prayed that coming back to God, Father, you run to them, just like you, the prodigal son's father ran to him. Oh, he ran to him. He ran to him. Even when the son said, I don't deserve to be your son, he said, that doesn't matter. You're my son. He restored right back to sonship. Father, thank you that you run to them and you put your arms around them and you love them and you care for them. Father, thank you. As a church, we're going to love them. We're going to care for them. We're going to reach out into their lives. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Father, thank you for that. Oh, Father, I honor you and love you and praise you. You're so good. Now, Father, I do pray for Harvest Bible Church, each and every one. Father, I pray for those that the enemy has come against as far as the poverty in areas of their lives. I come against those, Father, that have been brokenhearted, that have been ran over, pushed aside, beaten up. I pray for those that have been held captive by some thoughts or captive by anything, habits, whatever. Those that have been held captive. Hallelujah. Father, I pray for those that need recovery of sight to the blind, that they've just been blinded and they need, Father, for revelation to flow, but also for physical blindness to be healed in every area, Father, for the life and the healing power of God. Hallelujah. And Father, for them that have been bruised, them, hallelujah, that have been fragmented, them that have just seems that, man, they can't put the pieces back together, but God, you can. You can. You can. And Father, because it is the acceptable year of the Lord, right now is the year of the Lord's release. Right now is the right time to receive. It is an acceptable time. It is the acceptable time. Right now, on all of those things, Father, thank you. From this point forward, Harvest Bible Church will never be the same. Never, never, never be the same. Because you're going to bring us up. We're going to walk in the light. We're going to walk in the light. We're going to walk in the Spirit. We're going to walk in the things of God. We're going to let the Word of God be first place in our life. Lord, thank you for that. Thank you for the healing power of God flowing across this place. Hallelujah, in every area. Lord, we honor you. We love you. We yield ourselves to you. And we give you honor. We give you glory. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. God is good. Amen. Well, I've just preached from my heart this morning, giving you guys everything I know. And what I'm going to do right now, real quickly, I'm going to have our prayer team come forward. And then we're going to dismiss you shortly. But I want them to come forward really quickly, first of all, because there's things that you can do to escalate deliverance. There's things that you can do to escalate healing. There's things that you can do that will cause good things to come faster. One of those main things is this. First of all, is that you admit it. You admit that I got a situation. You admit. How many know sometimes for faith folks, we have a hard time admitting anything. We have a hard time admitting that we need somebody else to pray with us. The Bible says in James chapter 5, it says that, confess your faults. You know, in the Amplified Bible says, confess your faults, your slips, your sins, one to another, that you may be restored to a spiritual tone of mind and heart. Amen. Then it goes on to say, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. It makes tremendous power available, dynamic in its doing. That's the Amplified of James 5:16. But when you realize that, because the biggest humbling thing is, first of all, admitting that, you know what? I want to be free. I don't want to be held captive. I don't want to be bruised anymore. I don't want to be fragmented anymore. I want to be whole. And if it means that I need to go and say, you know what? And even if you need to come up and just preach to them, say, listen, I'm going to declare to you, I'm whole from this moment forward. No longer I don't have any unforgiveness anymore. Many times that's what happens. That's why we do the pray, because we pray one for another. Amen? So that's why we have these folks up here to do things and stuff, not because of anything else. They're precious. They'll love you. Amen? And that's why we do what we do. Amen? And that's my heart. And then after this, we're going to go play and have fun and enjoy the picnic, okay? So I want you all to stand up. So it makes it easier to do that. I'm going to just close here in a minute. Pastor Pamela is just going to be praying. And if you're perfect and whole and you don't need anything, then you're dismissed. Hallelujah. I love you. God loves you. I'll see you guys all at the picnic. God bless all of you. You're dismissed.